Welcome, welcome, welcome back to another episode of the podcast. What an absolute roller coaster of a fight weekend. We had two titles change hands. We had some other stuff happen too. Some stuff breaking last night. Let's talk about it. UFC 297 was this weekend, and boy, oh boy, was it fun. I don't know about you guys. A lot of people thought this fight card was, and I quote, dog shit, were actual comments that I heard being said. This card is dog shit. And I thought it was good from top to bottom, honestly. Obviously, it wasn't, it's not UFC 299. We'll talk about that later, too. But I thought the fight card was good, and I thought the fights were good. And I'm tired of hearing people complain. Not every fight card's fucking perfect, okay? Let's talk about some notable performances before we break down that pay-per-view card. Jimmy Flick defeats Malcolm Gordon via arm triangle in the second round. Guys, never sleep on the prelims. I never understand all these people with big bucks that spend $10,000 on a seat right in front of the cage and get there on the feature bout right before the co-main event. I never understand that. Never miss the prelims. The prelims in this fight were arguably almost better. They probably were a little bit better, other than the Neil Magny fight and the Sean Strickland fight, than the main card. Never miss the prelims, guys. If you guys ever are watching fights, never miss the prelims. Some of the best fights are on there. I'll go over to other people's houses sometimes, and I'm like, did you guys just watch that fight? You know, I'll go over there for the pay-per-view or whatever. I'm like, oh my God, this last fight, it was so crazy. And they're like, I didn't see it. We didn't have it on yet. I'm like, what the fuck you mean you didn't have it on yet? You must not be a fucking fight fan. But Jimmy Flick gets rocked by Malcolm Gordon. I think he got dropped. Gets back up. Comes back swinging. Puts down Malcolm Gordon. Gets him in an arm triangle and sinks that shit in. That shit was absolutely beautiful. And then Jazz DeVizius defeated Priscilla Cachoeira via Anaconda in the third round. And guys, that fight was not even close. Let me go look at the copy strike. Let me go look at the numbers on that. I was going to pull that up, but I forgot. So let's do this. Let's do this live. UFC 297. That was loud. That was a loud notification. UFC 297. And Jazz DeVizius is going to be a fucking monster, guys. That girl is so good. That was on the early prelims. She got a performance bonus. Why can't I see the numbers? This is fucking bullshit. Bunch of dead air here. It's fucking bad. But, I mean, I think Priscilla landed less than 50 strikes the entire fight. It might even be worse than that. It was just an abs, just a beat down. And thank God for the Canadians, because the Canadians did not fare too well. Why can't I find this shit? This is fucking bullshit. Guys, I'm determined to find this. Did I find it? Yeah, 93-24. And one knockdown. Beat the fucking brakes off this girl. Beat the brakes off her. I mean, she's so fucking good, dude. She's so much fun to watch. She's gonna be, what's she fighting at flyweight? She's probably gonna be a contender here at some point. I know she just lost to Tracy Cortez, but she's just so much fun to watch. And then Jillian Robertson defeated Paulina Vaina by second round TKO. Man, she is really, really coming to her own. Jillian Robertson has. She's looked fantastic in her last couple fights. I think she has, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but she's got, like, one of the like the second or third most submission wins in women's strawweight history. Like she's got like 10 or something crazy. I don't think it's that high, but it's a lot. And she submits so many girls, and her jiu-jitsu is just so high level, especially for that division. All right. Let's talk about this pay-per-view card everyone was complaining so much about. A card I thought was pretty good. Masvidal Ivalev versus Arnold Allen. That fight was very fun to watch. Arnold lost the fight by decision. But if you look at Ivalev's face at that press conference, if you guys haven't seen it, go look at the press conference. His face is busted up, dude. Arnold, that third round, Arnold Allen came and he came on strong, dude. Pushing forward. That was a fucking great fight. Ivalev could not keep him down. And I know he was saying after the fight that he wanted to test his striking against a guy like Arnold Allen. I just don't think he can keep him down. I don't think that was the game plan. His takedown defense is just so, so good. So good. But I think that's two losses in a row now for Arnold Allen. So it's kind of tough. Let me look. I mean, he's just fighting. He's fighting the best of the best, though. It's so hard when there's a guy like Arnold, because so many of these guys that make the way to the top don't always fight the most stiff competition. Arnold Allen just refuses to fight anyone who's not good. Refuses. He always takes a hard fight. No, who wanted to fight most of our Ivalev? Nobody. Like, who's Arnold Allen fought in the last, like, few fights? Yeah, he fought Ivalev, Max Holloway, and then he fought Calvin Kattar and Dan Hooker and Sadiq Youssef. Those were his last five fights. Lost to Max Holloway by decision. He got beat up pretty bad by Holloway. But, I mean, just nobody is taking these fights like Arnold Allen is. Who did Ivalev fight last? Diego Lopes. Dan Ige, Hakeem Dawood. Oh, pretty good, actually. Not too bad. But he's not fighting Max Holloway, you know what I mean? Because no one's taking those fights. But now they beat Arnold Allen, and that's also what I like about guys who... And that's what you saw with Rafael Fiziev. You were able to see a guy take a big, you know, a lot bigger fight against Justin Gaethje. So I'm curious what's next for Ivalev. 18-0. Dude's a fucking monster, dude. These Russian dudes are so scary. And then we had Chris Curtis beating Marc-Andre Barrault. I can never pronounce that dude's last name. By split decision. Okay, fight. Really not a whole lot to say there. I thought I was certain Chris Curtis is one. I wasn't so certain who scored that fight for Barrault, but who knows? I'm not a Canadian judge. I wasn't there. A fight that, in my opinion, one of the comebacks, I was going to say of the year, but it's only the second fight card of the year. Excuse me. Ugh. Neil Magny versus Mike Malott. Holy shit. Mike had him all but out of there. He had the arm triangle. He was looking for the arm triangle, couldn't get it, got back up, got caught, got taken down, and Neil just finished on top with a barrage of elbows and punches. That fight should have been stopped a little bit earlier. Fucking Kevin McDonald. Stop that fight. The fight was stopped 10, 15 seconds too late. But, dude, Neil Magny taking on a young contender like Mike Malott, a young, hungry contender in front of his home crowd, and took him out with 15 seconds left in the round. Nuts, dude. Fucking nuts. This is another guy who just fights. They just fucking put him in front of anybody and he'll fight him. I mean, look at his last fucking... I mean, I'm just going to read off some fights here. Robbie Lawler, Michael Chiesa, Jeff Neal, Max Griffin, Shavkat Rachmanov, Daniel Rodriguez, Gilbert Burns, Ian Garry. Those are in his last, like, let's see, 2 years, 3 years. Since 2021. 2020 since he's fought, so 4 years. Just fucking killer after killer after killer. And then he's getting older, which sucks. And that's part of the reason why you know, he's never going to be in title contention again. But there was a point to where the dude was just unstoppable.
I mean,
he really still is a scary fight, and unfortunately, he's kind of playing that gatekeeper role. I mean, they put him in front of Ian Garry. They put him in front of Mike Malott at home. They put him in front of Philip Rowe. They put him in front of Daniel Rodriguez, Shavkat, all these guys that are working their way up. And he's kind of playing that gatekeeper role, and that's never fun. But what are you going to do? He's still a goddamn monster. What's that? How many fights in the UFC? This dude has been fighting in the UFC since pre-Reebok days. That's how long this dude's been in here. His first fight in the UFC was February 2013. I was still in high school. I was a sophomore in high school. That's how long. I'm 26 now. That's how long this dude's been fighting in the UFC for. It's 11 years. Insane longevity. And I don't think he's ever missed weight too, which is an achievement that really, really should be publicized a lot more. Jim Miller's one of those guys too. It's so impressive if you can be in the UFC for as long as these two have and never miss weight, not as a heavyweight. As, you know, a big guy who fights at 170, 6'3", never missed weight in the UFC. So hats off to Jeff Neal. Absolutely incredible performance this weekend. And then that brings us to our co-main event. Raquel Pennington defeats Maria Bueno Silva via unanimous decision. And listen, guys, here's the thing. A lot of you said this fight was boring. And in my opinion, that could not be further from the truth. I really enjoyed this fight. It was back and forth. It wasn't, was it fucking Valentina Shevchenko? Fuck, no, that's not who that fight was. Was it Zhang Weili versus Joanna Jędrzejczyk? No, it wasn't. Okay? Not every fight is. And every time there's one women's fight that sucks, look at all these women's fights that were on this card. They were fantastic. Jasmine Jazdavizius was great. Jillian Robertson was great. And you want to point out the one fight that wasn't a back-and-forth war. And by the way, it was still a great fight. It was back-and-forth. Bueno was always trying to, was pushing her up against the fence, trying to take her down, took her down, almost submitted her a couple times. Raquel got on top, tried to submit her. There wasn't a whole lot of big stand-up exchanges, but it was back-and-forth. Bueno won the first two rounds. She gassed out, and Raquel took over. It was a fun fight. It wasn't in my top 50 of all time, but I enjoyed the fight. I didn't think I got ripped off. And every time there's a fight like this that's not the most exciting women's fight of all time, all people do is shit on the UFC women's divisions. And listen, I get it. The level is not as high as the men's divisions, but that does not mean the women are shit. I'm tired of that shit. It works in some other sports. Basketball, it's not fun to watch. There's no football. No one watches softball unless you play fucking softball, where you're a creepy old man and they tell me to put on the softball. They always did that when I worked at the bowling alley. Put on the softball. Why? You're 82. You don't give a fuck about softball. You want to look at fucking college girls. Stop being creepy. This is like the only sport where watching the women fight is fun. Watching the women perform in this sport is fun. The level is high, and it's just getting higher. That Jasmine Jazdavizius girl and Jillian Robertson, those two are fucking so high level. And I'm sorry that your feelings get hurt every time you don't like something. I'm sorry. Go fucking cry about it. Not all the fights are going to be great. And you could argue that Duplessis Sean Strickland fight was just, what, 20% better? I've seen worse men's main events than I saw this women's co-main event. So I don't want to hear about how the women suck, okay? Get over it. You'll be fine. Girl fucking pair. Fun fight, though. I enjoyed it. Congrats to Raquel Pennington. Hopefully, we see her fight God damn it, what's her name? I don't know what the fuck. My head does not work the way it should. There's something wrong with me. It's probably why I talk into a microphone once a week by myself for 30 minutes at a time. Who's that fucking, the loudmouth bitch? Fucking Juliana Pena. Hopefully we see that fight. I would love to see that fight. Juliana Pena took herself from being possibly one of the most liked champions we could have had to just the least liked person I've ever seen in my entire life. Watching her yell from the sidelines booing Amanda Nunes retiring because she said, "We have unfinished business," was so fucking cringy. Like, I get it. You won the first fight. Amanda didn't take you that serious. You caught her. You surprised her. You took her down. You finished her. Awesome. Great. Fantastic. Great story. You won me some money. I put $50 on her to finish. Won fucking, like, $480. And it was great, but then you got your fucking ass beat in the second fight. The fight wasn't even close. You got taken off your feet by a punch. You looked like a cartoon of someone getting beat up in the ring. You looked like a Looney Tunes character. It wasn't even close. There's no reason anyone needed to see a third fight at all. And you're fucking saying how you have unfinished business. Shut the fuck up, dude. I'm sorry. I get emotional. Anyway, that brings us to our main event. Drickus du Plessis versus Sean Strickland. Drickus won by split decision. Listen, I'm no expert, okay? I always say how I'm not an expert. I watch these fights fucking drunk half the time, okay? But I wasn't that drunk this time, and I had Sean winning 1, 2, and 5 for sure. You might have even been able to give Sean 3. And people say, oh, the takedowns. They didn't do anything with the takedowns. He took him down. He had him flat on his back, and Sean was able to get up. People say damage. Damage really shouldn't have much to do with it. And by the way, Drickus's damage was way worse than Sean's. Sean just had a cut that looked really bad, and the optics of that weren't good. Cut under his eye. That got worse with a headbutt. And people aren't talking about that. I never like to see a guy win a title by split decision. I want to see you beat the dude up. It just doesn't sit right with me. If it was unanimous decision, I'd be like, okay, cool. Maybe, I guess people scored it 3-4, 3-4-5 for Drickus. Okay, cool. I can live with that. And I don't think this fight is a total robbery either. I just don't think he won. But if you gave 3-4-5, because 5 was close. But I think Sean did, was pressing forward a lot more, did a lot more damage, was forcing the action. That's why I gave Sean round 5. If you gave Drickus any rounds 1 or 2 at all, you should be fired. Drickus definitely didn't win those 2 rounds, and the 3rd round was close. I think he had a couple big punches, but that was really it as far as what he did in the 3rd round. I thought Sean dominated the majority of the round, but congratulations to Drickus. I know they were wanting to do the winner of this fight. It seemed like they were wanting the winner of this fight to fight at UFC 300, but I don't think either of these dudes are going to be ready in, what, 2 months? What's that? Yeah, it's in March. It's in 2 months. There's no way. There's not a shot these guys are going to be ready. Either of these two are going to be ready for UFC 300. And by the way, UFC 300, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about UFC 300 here in a little bit. But yeah, great fun pay-per-view. Congrats to Drickus. Yeah, that's it for UFC 297. Next weekend, we got some fun fights, too. Roman Dolidze versus Nasruddin Imavov. These are some of the two. They're only 6'3". I mean, only 6'3". That's tall. But, like, size-wise, like, just how big they look, they're two of the biggest fucking guys I have ever seen at 185 pounds. When Imavov was fighting Joaquin Buckley in Paris last year, I was like, Jesus Christ. This dude's fucking huge. And every time I see Roman Dolidze in there too, it makes everybody else look tiny. So watching these two giants are going to be fucking fun. Another notable fight on that card, Drew Dober versus Hinato Moicano. These two dudes are on a little bit of a hot streak. Moicano has won 3 out of the last 4, all by rear naked choke. Beat Brad, who did he beat here? Beat Brad Riddell, he beat Alexander Hernandez and Jai Herbert, all by rear naked choke. And then Drew Dober has run 4 out of his last 5, all by knockout or TKO. Beat Ricky Glenn, Bobby Green, Rafael Tavares, and Terrence McKinney, all by knockout or TKO. So, those two fights this weekend are gonna be fun. Can't wait for that. We'll break that down. Guys, we're doing this year. I'm publicizing it for the first time. I have this app called Verdict. If you guys are familiar with Verdict, you guys are awesome. Basically, I keep track of all of my main card picks or whatever, which ones are put into Verdict and for the year. And I see what my record is at the end of the year. So far this year, we are 4-6. Not looking good this year. It's okay. We're a little rusty. It's the beginning of the year, you know. Last year, we went 113-89. The year before, we went 125-93. Before that, we went 130-91. And before that, we went 108-116. That was 2020. That was not a good year for old Josh. But we're going to be publicizing it every year, and we're going to be doing, I'm going to be doing my picks live here on air. So I'm going to do it right now for this weekend's fight card. This is good. Guys, I'm excited for this. This is going to be fun. This is the first time I've ever, I've been wanting to do this for a while, but I've never started at the beginning of the year, and I just kind of forget about it. Of course, my Verdict app isn't opening. God damn it. Guys, this is a live show, okay? Not everything's perfect. Nothing's perfect. Okay, this isn't working. God damn it. What is wrong with my phone? I'm going to restart my phone. And while I'm doing that, we will talk a little bit about the signing the UFC just made. The UFC just signed Kayla Harrison. She will be fighting at UFC 300, and she will be taking on Holly Holm. I don't know how Kayla Harrison is going to make 135 pounds. I have no idea how that's going to happen. Hopefully she has a nutritionist, and hopefully she can make 135 and it's not a Chris Cyborg situation to where she almost kills herself getting down to 135, because that's never good. I was hoping they'd fight at 45 because I know Holly Holmes fought at 45 in the past. But Dana keeps saying he's going to make all these big announcements for UFC 300. I don't think that's really going to cut it. I mean, let's look at UFC 299 and let's compare it to UFC 300, because UFC 299 right now is fucking nuts, guys. I'm going to read off literally every fight on this card to you, okay? And the ones that are bad are still pretty good. All right, this is every fight, bottom to top. Excuse me, Jesus. CJ Vergara versus Asu Abel. I don't know who this guy is. He's another Kazakhstan guy. He's probably going to beat the shit out of CJ Vergara. Yeah, he's a minus 400 favorite. And then we got Michelle Pereira and Michael Olaj. I can't read this Polish guy's name either. And then we got Pedro Munoz versus Kyler Phillips. Piotr Jan versus Song Yadong. Gamrot versus Rafael Dos Anjos. Kaitlyn Chookagian versus Macy Barber. Chris Curtis and Jalton Almeida. Kevin Holland and the first ever appearance in the UFC by Michael Venom Page. Then we got Gilbert Burns versus Jack Della Maddalena. Then we got Dustin Poirier versus Benoit Saint-Denis. And for the main event is Sean O'Malley and Marlon Vera. Guys, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of these fights are ranked guy versus ranked guy. What the fuck. That fight card is insane. That's going to be in Miami. Okay. Now let's look at all the fights, at least so far, announced for UFC 300. And you tell me if I'm wrong, okay? I'm going to read it from bottom to top. We got Bobby Green, Jim Miller, Davidson Figueiredo versus Cody Garbrandt. We got Charles Oliveira versus Armin Tarksurian, Bo Nickel and Cody Brundage, Calvin Kattar, Aljamain Sterling at 145. That'll be fun. Yuri Prochazka versus Alexander Rakic, Zhang Weili versus Yan... I can never pronounce this nice Chinese girl's last name, for the featherweight title, and then Justin Gaethje versus Max Holloway for the BMF belt, and then they just added Holly Holm versus Kayla Harrison as well. There is no clear main event in this, and we're only 2 months away. It's a good card. It's a great card, actually, but... There's just... Well, it's 3 months away, I guess. It's in April. They have time, but it's not even close to that UFC 299 card. It's going to be so hard. They should have moved some of these fights over to UFC 300 because it's going to be so hard to top that UFC 299 card and it be UFC 300 because everyone's expecting crazy fights at UFC 300. It's going to be so hard. It's so hard. God damn, my Verdict app still isn't working. We'll do it next week, but we'll still keep track of it all week, okay? But, yeah. Good luck, UFC. Anyway, that is all I have for you guys today. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will be back next week, and I'm going to start going out on this podcast every week by saying, if a guy says he's got the locks on MMA sports bets, he's probably lying. All right, guys, take care.